differently.
Welcome to RNIB's Health and Social Care podcast, an insight-packed look into issues that affect those living with sight loss. In this podcast, we'll share tips, stories, and speak to the experts to share the latest sight loss information.
Hello and welcome to RNIB's Vision and Stroke podcast. My name is Lindsay Sansom from RNIB's Health and Social Care Skills Development Team. And joining me today will be Mrs. Stevie Johnson, who's the Clinical Lead for iClinic Support Services in RNIB, and Jo Hill. Jo is the iCare Liaison Officer, otherwise known as ECLO, in the Princess Alexandra Eye Pavilion in Edinburgh.
Stevie and I are involved in delivering training for ECLOs across the UK, and Stevie's also involved in the continued professional development of the ECLOs and quality. ECLOs support a variety of people with sight loss and other health conditions and complex needs in many ways, and we hope this podcast helps to raise awareness of the role of the ECLO. And with this being part of the Vision and Stroke podcast series, we would like to let people know about how an ECLO may be able to support someone who has had a stroke and their vision has been impacted from this. So to start off with, Steve, if we can start by asking you, why is there a need for ECLOs and what is their main role?
So ECLOs came about because people told us that when they were being told that they had an eye condition that would affect their sight, they needed someone there, someone to provide a listening ear, guide them through the process, and someone who knew all about the support available. So the ECLO role is to work closely with the staff in eye departments in hospitals, providing information, advice and emotional support to people who are affected by sight loss. And they can also link people with the wide range of support available outside of the hospital. So they talk to people about any worries they may have, tell people about what's available and check they're getting all the support and benefits that they're entitled to.
So a really key role within the eye clinics there. So Jo, would you like to tell us a little bit more about how you may be able to support someone who has had a stroke and their vision has been affected?
Obviously, there are many, many feelings that are had if somebody's had a stroke and lost their sight. A person can lose confidence and become increasingly isolated and experience feelings of depression, anger, confusion. And we as ECLOs understand all that. We are there to support, and mostly emotional support principally, because they might feel that there's nobody there who really understands how they're feeling. And someone with a stroke might believe or think that their vision loss is secondary to the actual stroke. They come in and they feel that they need to talk to someone. And I think it's really important that someone like an ECLO, who's not medical and who is able to give time to someone, is a crucial element to their recovery, and they can move forward and see a brighter future for themselves. So we can give the time to people to sit and listen. We're not giving them a 10-minute slot. We can give them as long as they need to talk about everything that's happening in their lives. And we're there to offer practical advice as well.
Yeah, so a listening ear, as you say, as well, just able to listen to someone and let them talk about how they're feeling and help them maybe understand the impact of their diagnosis or changes.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. The medical team, sometimes people come away from a consultant's meeting having only really retained 20% of what they've been told. We can sit and discuss exactly what is wrong with them and what they feel, that what did they mean by certain terminology, and we can make it really clear in non-jargon for them and let them relax a little bit more, and we'll dig a little bit deeper into their lives and how they're feeling.
So if we're thinking about that support, emotional and practical support an ECLO can give to someone, what about the person's family, or, for example, if they have a support worker or carer also involved in their care, are you able to provide any support for them?
Absolutely. Family members are really important because they are the ones that are living with them day to day. Carers, a family member could be a spouse, it could be a child, it could be a grandchild even, who's able to take on board a lot of what we say and help back at the home. People don't need to be registered, sight impaired or severely sight impaired, to visit with us, and they don't need to be attending the eye clinic. We're there for people who are just maybe referred in by a local optician, or they've been in the ward in another hospital, and they can come and see us. People are being referred in from GPs as well. We get most of our referrals, obviously, from the eye clinic, but in the community as well. We're extending our reach, shall we say. So if people need to find an ECLO, then they should first really speak to their optician.
That's really good to know that it's not just, you know, if somebody's got an appointment in the eye clinic that they can access those ECHO services. So is someone able to speak to you over the phone as well, Jo, if they're unable to come into the eye clinic setting?
Yes, we have a landline. We have mobile phone numbers we can hand out. At our particular clinic, we have 3 ECHOs and we're there every day. But yes, we can speak to people on the phone if they are not able to come in for an appointment.
And that's good to know as well, that somebody doesn't need to be registered either to be able to access your services either. So they can be referred from, like you're saying, a GP or their optometrist, or they can self-refer. What about any examples of other people that you may be working alongside, Jo, to help with or support somebody who's living with sight loss, or any onward referrals you may make?
Well, we, as the ECHO team, act as a bridge between the medical teams and all the various services in the community. Onward referrals is really a key part of the work we do. We don't just have a chat and let people go. We're there to inform about services that are available, and we will help where necessary to make those referrals into those services. For example, someone may be feeling really low and needs some counselling. That's something we can refer onwards to. They might need assistance in the home. They might need to have some aids in the kitchen, for example. We can offer lovely things like liquid level indicators, which is a fantastic name for a very little object that helps with the non-spilling of tea. You have to see it to believe it, really. And stickers to go onto your cooker and your microwave. These are great aids. But having someone come into your home, a mobility and rehabilitation specialist, is really crucial, certainly for stroke survivors. They might feel that they are just not seeing the food on their plate very well, or eating one half of the plate, not seeing the food on the other half. These rehabilitation officers will really be able to guide them through all the tips and tricks. And we have lots of ideas ourselves, but to have somebody visiting is great. They might need a little bit of help with technology. We can refer into a technical support. You name it, the support services are out there, including peer support groups. There's a stroke unit at most hospitals, and they do run support groups either on the phone or face to face.
So that's good to know that you don't only see the person once and then you don't see them again. You're able to then keep in contact with them and support them through that sort of journey to help them understand and adapt to the changes in their sight.
Yes, we're always there for them to call back to us if they need any further information. If there's a lot of referrals to make, we try not to overwhelm anybody. We'll take it in stages. So perhaps a follow-up meeting in a couple of weeks' time is advisable, so that we can maybe discuss things that we didn't discuss in the first meeting. But yes, we always leave our number and our business cards with everybody. And it's really an open door. Come in for a cup of tea. It's a really lovely way for patients to really be able to discuss how they're feeling. It's really a non-medical environment within a medical hospital.
That's a really good way of explaining it. And I think, like you said, sometimes it's simple changes that can be made that will make the biggest of differences to people as well, or the most simple aids or adaptations. And like you say, ECHOs have a whole host of great ideas and information that's available that you can provide for someone.
Yes, absolutely. We are professionally trained. We have studied ECHO services qualification. We have lots of experience. We know in our local areas mostly where to refer people into, and we have good partnership relationships. So yes, I would hate for somebody to slip through the net and not meet up with an ECHO, because it really is life-changing.
Thank you so much for all that information, Jo, and really highlighting the importance of the ECHO role. Stevie, how could people find out about local ECHO services, or how to contact them? Where would be the best place to start?
Probably the best place to start, if you've access to the internet, is to look on the Sightline directory. That's sightlinedirectory.org.uk. And what you can do is you can type in your postcode or where you live, and it will bring up the details of an ECHO in that area, if there is one. Or alternatively, you can call RNIB's helpline, which is 0303 123 9999, and they'll be able to tell you if there's an ECHO in your area and how to get in touch with them.
Lovely. Thank you so much for speaking to us today, Stevie and Jo, and all that great information. And hopefully you've all enjoyed listening and know more about an ECHO and their role. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to RNIB's Health and Social Care podcast. If you found this episode helpful, you can find further resources by visiting rnib.org.uk and searching for health and social care professionals. For further information and support online, visit the Sight Loss Advice Service page at rnib.org.uk/advice. You can also call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999. We are the Health and Social Care Skills Development Team at RNIB. We support health and social care professionals and organisations by delivering training courses and providing skills development opportunities. Training courses are available and bespoke training can be offered to suit the needs of an organisation. For more information about what we do, search for us on the RNIB website.
RNIB. See you differently.